Hey peeps, please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the family. All right, so now that that's out of the way, let's get into this. This is about, we did the video with Jimmy with IOST, and a lot of people were asking me, what is DPoS, right? So delegated proof of stake. So Jimmy talks about how he's different than the traditional system. And I started getting a lot of text messages and emails saying, what's DPoS? You know, I've heard of it. I just don't really understand it. I don't know what it means. Why does it matter? Why is it different? Why does it have to be different than DPoS? Who cares, right? So I thought I'd just throw together a quick little video, try and dumb it down as much as I could as to what DPoS is, or delegated proof of stake, right? So this will be just kind of a quick little video, you know, just kind of like a little learning tool for you of sorts, right? And so, you know, hopefully, Dan Larimer or Jackson Palmer don't crucify me for, you know, me just kind of, you know, skirting through this, but it's just to give you a better understanding. It is not a textbook. It is not, you know, something you can just basically say, this is exactly how it is, but this is, you know, close, right? So I just kind of wanted to put together something simple for you, so that way you kind of have a better understanding of it. So delegated proof of stake, or DPoS, we'll just call it DPoS for simplicity, was actually created by Dan Larimer in 2014. And I've got a bunch of these little articles up here too that I'm going to link that kind of, you know, they'll kind of go with, you know, my little explanation for you. So that way you've got some things to point to as well, right? And so the reason why Dan created it back in 2014 was, you know, to kind of replace Bitcoin's proof of work system, right? So, and then, you know, what's the difference between delegated proof of stake, or DPoS, and just regular, you know, proof of stake, right? So there's obviously a couple differences. So let me just start there, right? So the difference, you know, basically the difference between proof of stake and delegated proof of stake is, you know, you got block creation, right? So in proof of stake systems, the creator of a new block is chosen in kind of like a pseudo random way, you know, depending on that user's coin at stake, right? Depending on the size of their bags. In a delegated proof of stake, or DPoS system, users actually vote to elect a certain number of witnesses, right? So we'll call these witnesses like block producers. These top tier witnesses are usually like 20, I think EOS has like 21, are rewarded for verifying transactions and for creating blocks. So DPoS is much faster due to, you know, a significantly smaller number of people, you know, users, witnesses, block producers, those guys, you know, verifying these transactions and creating these blocks. So, you know, DPoS is, you know, more scalable than just traditional, you know, proof of stake, right? So proof of stake also has, you know, the blockchain's rules and parameters programmed right into the Genesis block. So, you know, if you want to make any changes, you're going to have to fork the entire chain, right? So with DPoS, you know, they have this elected panel of delegates who can, you know, actively govern the blockchain and can propose changes to the actual protocol itself, even though these changes are going to have to be approved by the users, you know, for them to first come into effect, right? So there's a difference there. So you can basically have a bunch of people that say, hey, we want to do this. They can vote and they can go that way. But with proof of stake, you know, you got to fork the chain, right? So that's one of the big differences, right? And then, you know, proof of work, right? So, you know, it's still the most secure. It's never been hacked, but it requires a lot of energy, right? And it can still be centralized too, you know, due to these like huge mining companies and these pools. And then of course, you know, like Bitcoin, it has, you know, somewhere around 7 transactions per second, but, you know, proof of work, that's, you know, for another video. This one here is about DPoS, right? So, you know, in a nutshell, you know, it's basically what DPoS is it's basically, you know, a group of bag holders using their computers and their bags of tokens or coins to validate and create blocks in a very short period of, you know, of time, like seconds, milliseconds, to either vote or approve, you know, to vote to like approve or disapprove transactions, and possibly the hundreds of thousands or millions of transactions per second range without using all of that energy that proof of work uses, right? So all that's really required is a blockchain, some voted in, you know, witnesses, or, you know, block producers, bag holders, whatever you want to call them, some computers, and the rules that actually govern how the network itself actually works, right? So block producers or some people call them top witnesses, are voted in by the community that holds some tokens or coins, and they vote for who they want to be, you know, block producers or witnesses, right? So the community basically says, hey, we want this block producer, this top witness, here's our votes, right? And they usually use their tokens or coins to make those votes, right? They use the weight of their bags to basically decide who is, you know, chosen as one of these block producers or witnesses. And these block producers, they're incentivized, you know, by sometimes being paid a salary, sometimes being paid rewards, transaction fees, all to secure the network, usually being paid by the blockchain's, you know, native token or coin. So the bigger the bag that the block producer has, the more voting power that they also have. People with smaller bags that are these top witnesses, these block producers, they have less voting power. So, I mean, this can obviously lead, you know, to problems, right? If there's too many big bag holders and they start colluding with each other, they could actually do some harm to the network, right? They can't go backwards, but they could, you know, maybe not allow transactions to go through, maybe do some double spending, stuff like that. But you got to remember, these block producers were also, you know, voted into power by the actual community, right? So the community can also remove these top witnesses if they're not doing a good job. They can just do another vote, right? So it's worth noting that, you know, the community, you know, can vote these people, you know, in and out. And it's also worth noting that the community can also vote in these top witnesses, these block producers, even if they have small bags, right? Because basically it's the weight of the community that decides who the block producers are, okay? So, you know, as the network gets bigger, right? So, and it gets more competitive, as the network gets like more adoption, these block producers can also be voted out, you know, and lose their salaries, or their salaries will kind of diminish, the rewards will kind of diminish as the network gets more and more popular, and more people, you know, basically want their jobs, right? So more and more people say, hey, wait a minute, this network's getting popular, there's more and more people on it. Hey, I want to be a block producer. I want to be that top witness, right? So it starts getting more competitive. The network may start, you know, lessening the salaries that these block producers get. They may start cutting back the rewards, the transaction fees, stuff like that, as the blockchain gets more and more popular. So these block producers always have to kind of be on their toes that they could be, you know, removed at any time if the community decides to, you know, vote them out because they're not doing a good job, or enough people decide that, you know, they want their job. We should also talk about the delegates themselves, right? So in DPoS, systems also, you know, vote, you know, community also votes for delegates, right? These are like trusted parties responsible for maintaining the network. These delegates oversee the governance and performance of the entire blockchain protocol, but do not play a role in transaction validation or block production, all right? So those are the delegates. They're kind of in charge of the network, right? But they're not the ones actually out there, you know, validating things and creating blocks. Then you also have block validators, right? So I know there's a lot of terms in here and get kind of confusing. I got my little notes here just to kind of keep me on point so I don't ramble and turn this into a 45-minute video. But this is pretty much it, right? So the block validators in a DPoS system, it refers to like people that run full nodes, you know, just to verify that the blocks that were created by the block producers follow the consensus rules, right? So any user, you know, is able to, you know, run a block validator and to verify the network, you know. So obviously DPoS has some flaws. You know, some say that it's not decentralized enough, but, you know, some people say the same thing about proof of work, right? Because of mining pools and electricity and all kinds of stuff, right? So what's going to replace DPoS? What's going to replace proof of work? That's kind of still up for debate, right? Nobody really knows yet. There's a lot of people out there trying to build stuff, saying they got a better idea, but, you know, we really haven't seen anything yet. DPoS, you know, Dan Larimer's baby is what we have right now that people are pointing to, saying, hey, this is, you know, much better than proof of work. Kind of up to you to decide. But I just wanted to put this quick video out there for all the texts and emails that I've been getting hit up with, and all the Telegram private messaging and all that kind of stuff. So what's DPoS? It's too confusing. I don't understand it. Why does it matter? So hopefully this cleared it up a little bit for you. I just wanted to throw this out there. Hey peeps, just a friendly reminder, Crypto Beetle shows are never financial advice, recommendations, or trading strategies. The views expressed here are solely that of Robert Beetles and his guests. Robert Beetles is the co-founder of the Monarch Wallet, host of TradingView Sessions, Crypto Beetles on YouTube, and on several entities. Robert's opinions here do not reflect that of those entities. Some information shared here may not actually be factual. These shows are for information and entertainment purposes only. Never invest a single Satoshi or penny in anything without first seeking the counsel and advice of a professional financial advisor. Robert Beatles is not a financial expert or advisor. Investing in anything is super dangerous. You can lose all of your money, so always trade at your own risk. Please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the family. All right. God bless you. Love you. Till the next one. Talk to you soon.